Get road trip ready with a service checkup at your local Chevy dealer. They can save you time and money and get the job done right the first time, worry-free. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for current service specials or to schedule a test drive.
And I don't know if you saw the story in the Chicago Tribune. Kind of a startling headline and a very interesting read as well. More than a third of Illinois teachers surveyed said they've considered leaving the profession amid COVID-19 stress. I don't know how much longer I can keep it together. It's an article that goes in depth and kind of talks to teachers about why they might feel that way. You can hear this, the stress goes all around to everybody, right? You hear it from parents, you're hearing it from kids and anyone involved with education right now. But that was it was interesting to hear, kind of startling to hear that more than a third of Illinois teachers felt that way. Now, the person who wrote that is Karen Ann Collada. She covers education for the Chicago Tribune. Karen, I'm sure you got a lot of feedback from that. I mean, I know you worked hard on it. It was something to take in and really kind of try to understand, right?
Yes, Anna. I did get quite a bit of feedback from everyone, from teachers to parents. Very strong opinions on this. I have to say, I was not all that surprised by the report. A third is quite a bit, but, and this is just all anecdotally is reporting on this. I've talked to so many teachers since March, mid-March, when this all began, and everyone has a different story, but, I really could sense, you know, how challenging this is. But yeah, I should say, in some regards, you know, one third sounds like a lot, but, you know, keeping in mind that, you know, this was a cross section of, 1,300 teachers, so it's not, we can't say, I guess, definitively, but I think it does give a very good sense, and the study was well done, that there's certainly a lot of concern out there right now.
Well, 1,300 seems like a big sample size to me. I mean, it just feels like you figured something out with that. I mean, is it statistically perfect?
Right.
No, but you're sensing something that's real. And I think the startling part about it for me was that it wasn't that they felt enormous stress, is that they're considering leaving the profession during the pandemic, and the kinds of over-safety concerns was one of the things I think cited, but it was the stress as well. Talk about what the concerns were. And I also want to ask you more about the reaction. Also, hey, I'll just throw this out here, 312-981-7200. You're a teacher. You have an experience with us. We do want to hear from you. So let us know. Weigh into the conversation at any time here, 312-981-7200. Sorry, Karen. Go ahead. Didn't mean to interrupt.
Sure. No worries. So, Anna, you bring up a good point. I mean, this isn't just a matter of saying, yeah, this is difficult, I feel stressed. Quite different than that. This is saying, I'm actually thinking of leaving, in some cases, retiring earlier than anticipated. One of the younger teachers that I talked to, who I believe is not of retirement age yet, it was just so overwhelming. So that's a lot different than stress. I think probably everyone in every profession right now can attest that, things are stressful, but this is quite different. This is saying leaving the profession, and for teachers, and I know we all know teachers, and our family and friends, and this is so much more than a job. This is a vocation, a profession. Oftentimes teachers have always wanted to be teachers, since they maybe had that one teacher that inspired them in elementary school, and this is a lifelong dream for many of our teachers out there. For them to be considering leaving is pretty heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say that too. It just, it's putting the stresses of the system, we hear it all the time, are affecting everybody. You rightly point out, you hear from parents and you hear from kids and students of all ages who are, you're dealing with just very difficult circumstances and then trying to focus on education in the midst of everything going on around you, as well as dealing with the technological challenges, on top of that.
Absolutely, absolutely. And many of these teachers that I've talked to in recent months, they're also parents. So, it's, they get it and they understand where parents are coming from. And many times, these teachers are, especially when it started last spring, were trying to deliver these remote lessons. They had youngsters in the house. Oh boy, it's just very difficult.
What about, have you noticed any difference though now that we heard, okay, we're more prepared for it. You can never be fully prepared for this, let's be honest. But in the spring, it was such a sudden surprise that everyone was just trying to do their best, and it wasn't ideal. And now, there was a little more planning. There was a summertime to sort of say, hey, let's get ready for remote learning. Are you hearing that helped? Are there new concerns that developed, or are they similar concerns to what was before?
No, I think they're new concerns. I think one of the frustrations that I've heard from teachers is that they spent the summer preparing remote lessons, and really, you know, some of them going, they all did. I would say every teacher probably had massive amounts of new training and having to learn new technologies and just really to take that remote learning and step it up. And of course, there was some criticism of it, and saying, okay, how can we do this? How can we use best practices to ensure that we're going to have really quality instruction and reaching all of our children? So they worked hard on that. I know the administrators worked hard on that. And I think there was some sense at the beginning of the school year, folks were thinking, okay, maybe we're going to go back in person. The anxiety, I think part of it is uncertainty and this back and forth, really never quite knowing. So there was a sense, okay, we're going to be back in person. And then kind of at the last minute, late August, I believe, many, many school districts started just flipping and saying, well, no, I don't think we can do this yet. Mm-hmm. So I think the uncertainty is very difficult, but you're accurate that there was a lot of training, and I think that the remote learning is just, the quality is much higher than it was in the spring. But I think having to go in and out of remote, and then, of course, families get a choice. So you might have some of your students are remote, right. Some of them are in the classroom. So
right.
All quite difficult.
I've heard that from my teacher friends who have told me that, you got to prepare for the remote and you have to prepare for the in-class, and then you've got your two cohorts and you got the, let's just be honest, it's more on their plates. I get that. Let's talk to Matt here. Hey, Matt, go ahead. What are your thoughts on this?
Hello, folks. So, happy Friday. I'm glad nothing at all happened this week that was any type of interesting.
Right.
It's a very calm week.
It's been an eventful week.
Yes. So here's my question. I was actually thinking of becoming a substitute. Would this be a good time to do so, or should I run for the hill?
That's a great question for the education reporter at the Chicago Tribune. Karen, I have seen some headlines about substitute teachers feeling kind of vulnerable right now.
Yes, I'm certainly not an expert on that, but I would say I have heard anecdotally that there is a huge sub shortage. There was a shortage before the pandemic. I think there was a time when folks were subbing back in like 2008, 2009. The economy improved and they got out of subbing, and there have for years school districts have been trying to draw in substitute teachers. So I would think this might be a good time.
Yeah, there is a story in chalkbeakchicago.org that talks about substitutes and the kind of the teachers and the challenges they're having in the COVID times. Kind of just having to be subject to a wide array of learners, learning a class on the spot. You think about teaching a multitude of subjects. Just arriving and not necessarily knowing everything that's going on. But it's a good read. I would say, Matt, check it out if you want to just kind of see it's a first person account from different substitute teachers in this environment. But it's cool that you're considering that. It's very cool that you're considering
it. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt.
I just wanted to say that, Anna, I hope you have a good weekend where nothing crazy happens.
Thank you. I pray that it happens. Thank you, Matt. Let's go to Brian. Brian, go ahead. You're on WGN.
Hey, thanks for taking the call. Mm-hmm. This has certainly been a really difficult semester for everybody. I know that last spring doing this remote was a challenge, but trying to hold kids accountable in this situation is unbelievably difficult. We get parents constantly asking us why their students are failing or why their grades are not optimal or the grades that they want. And I think parents are finally seeing that their kids are playing games or messing around and not participating when they're at home and kind of getting the same thing that we're seeing in class at times. And all this pressure has been put back on the teachers. And why are the students failing, or what can we do to make this easier for them so they can pass? And I don't necessarily see students putting in the same amount of effort that some of my coworkers have been putting in to make sure that we're providing the lessons remotely as best as we can.
Why are some of them failing, Brian? What would you say is the reason? They're just not putting in the work, they're not putting in that effort, or is it just, are there other factors?
There are students on my roster that I have seen maybe once or twice since August that don't show up to class, but they become our responsibility. So I still need to look for solutions on how we're going to make sure that these students are able to pass or understand the material, and we're losing out on things like tutoring or Saturday SAT preps and all sorts of stuff. So it's, we're having an even limited amount of time to try and squeeze all this material in it. It's very difficult.
Brian, if they're not showing up at once or twice since late August, how is that? What do you do? What's your responsibility? You go knock on their door to? Do you call? I mean, how do you engage that child?
Not in this neighborhood. I mean, we definitely aren't doing that on the south side. But I mean, truancy officers are trying the best that they can to keep up with it, and they can only reach so many people. And a lot of my kids being special ed too. I mean, we're not allowed to fail those students, so we're needing to find solutions on how we can make sure that these students are still going to be able to pass, even though they're not putting ever in, or the attendance is awful, or whatever.
Brian, educate us all. I've read so many stories about special ed kids being some of those most harmed during this, that they need the help that many times their parents don't have the ability to work with them at home, and there's so many challenges. Tell us what the experience is like.
Yeah, having 9th and 10th grade students that might have a 2nd or 3rd grade reading level, and hoping that they can navigate through directions for high school level material is certainly a challenge. I mean, we struggle with that while they're in person, and the inclusion of not being able to see these students or not being able to work on that tech directly in front of them has made this way more complicated. And the accommodations that we would put in place for our students normally, it's certainly not enough to make sure that they feel supported. I don't know how much extra time I can give up in a day that can still work with my kids. I mean, I've been working through my lunch. I work after when I get home on camera to make sure that my students reach their material, and still it's not enough.
How many kids, Brian, are in your class or your responsibility?
I have about 45, 50 students all day.
Hmm. Are you, you know how it has been proposed in CPS, and I don't know if you're in CPS, it doesn't matter. You don't have to tell us if you don't want to, but they had proposed that the preschoolers and the special ed would go back first because they felt as if there was the special ed needed it, and that the preschoolers were the lowest risk of, you know, health issues. Do you think that special ed students would be best off in the classroom?
I'm sure that it would be an improvement, but I don't think that it's the safest solution. I couldn't imagine my students responsibly keeping a mask on for seven hours at a time. Hmm. There's no way. I don't know what a safe practice would look like with students that many in a room. I don't even know if we have a classroom large enough to keep that many students spaced out 6 feet apart from each other.
I hadn't even thought of that. That is, I mean, the part about the mask.
How are kids going to get on the bus? We're going to line them up next to each other, or what?
Mm-hmm. Brian, I give you all the love in the world and the credit for what you're doing, because it is really, I mean, my gosh, the challenges you're dealing with, I can't even imagine. I'm so happy you called in to tell us what you're dealing with, to tell us the actual truth about what your experience is.
I'm so thankful that we're going to be pushing through that remote practice on Monday. I mean, we haven't had students in our building, but the staff has had to go in, and it seems like every department there's someone new who's sick every week. So it's certainly overdue to make sure that the rest of us are working from home.
Yeah, it's a challenge. Thank you, Brian. Thank you so much for calling.
Thanks for taking my call.
Karen, do you have a few more minutes for us here? We're just going to pause, and we're going to get back to calls. I mean, you heard that. I want to get your reaction to that. And that was a
Absolutely.
Really powerful phone call, and he had a lot to say. All right, this is a powerful discussion. I mean, I'm learning a lot, and it's Karen Ann Collada. You wrote this article that I just talked about, and you said you got a lot of reaction. We just were hearing some of it, and I'm wondering, is that what you've been hearing as well as people read
Absolutely.
What you had?
Absolutely. Well, you know, Brian brought up a couple of really important issues that, you know, are playing out. And first of all, I mean, you hear these stories of what he's dealing with. These teachers are heroes, and it's just kind of unimaginable some of the things they're dealing with right now. But he talked about special ed classrooms, and there are special ed classrooms that are back in person. And I have heard from teachers and parents. And it's really tough. I mean, when you're talking about social distancing, mask wearing, all the things we know we need to do, it's nearly impossible to maintain that. So it's really a tough situation for those teachers and for the students. He also brought up the issue of teachers that maybe everything's all remote, but in many, many school districts, almost the vast majority that I've talked to lately, teachers are having to go into the classroom. Even if it's remote, they still are doing the lessons from the classroom. And from school board superintendents' perspectives, you know, they're saying, we have all here, the lessons can would be delivered in the best way. But many teachers, I can't say all, but I've heard from many teachers who say, well, if we're remote, what is the point of bringing us into the building? We're in an empty classroom, but we're using common hallways. We're using bathrooms together. And this, you know, some teachers are still worried about that. And, and he brought that up, I believe.
No question. Let's hear from another teacher. Doreen, go ahead. You're on WGN. How are you?
Good. Thank you for having me on. I'm a third grade teacher, so this is a different perspective from the high school teacher. As a third grade teacher, there's a lot of connection you make with each student, and it's really hard to do that over a little screen. So I'm feeling very unsure about the success of my students because I'm not in person with them to understand the needs they have. I can see their little faces through the screen, and I can see the stress on their face that they're in their home all the time, that they're not coming into the classroom. Because let's face it, everybody needs a little bit of time away from all the people you spend all the time with. And they don't get that. And you can see that stress. And not that, I mean, there's horrible things in the news that are happening because everybody's stuck at home. But I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about just kids want to come to school and see other kids and get a deep breath away from whatever's happening in their home, be it good or bad or whatever. And then they come here fresh, ready to learn and take in knowledge, and they're not getting that. They're just getting, they turn on their screen. I try to do as much as I can, to make it more exciting, but they're sitting in a chair at home that they've been sitting in probably since last March.
You know, I've been hearing, Doreen, that maybe I want to ask you if this is the case for you, but I've been hearing that younger kids, my daughter's in third grade, Gabby, but she's okay with the screen. And I've heard that the second and first and kindergartners, some of them just kind of hide or they just don't get it. They don't engage in that level. And it's incredibly difficult to just sort of get the educating part going.
Oh, absolutely. Because my students, they want to talk to me. And they want to share, and there's just not a lot of time because of the constraints of the technology, turning your microphone off, turning it on. So in the classroom, we can have more the sharing time because little third graders, they like to share about what's going on with them. But there's so much time wasted with turning the microphone off and on and being disconnected. And then, in the classroom, you can redirect in physically with them. But on the computer, I'm saying, okay, thank you. And their story is going on for a very long time. But they need that time because they need that connection. So it's such a stress because I know that I'm not giving my students what they need. And it is extremely stressful. And then someone had said about the unknowing. Are we going to go back at some point? When are we going to do that? How is that going to look? Because I'm a teacher that we're completely remote. I go into the classroom because I like to get in the classroom and have the kids see the classroom and be like, we will be here. We're going to get to this. And so it is extremely stressful, and it's for me and my students.
Yeah. Doreen, I just want to say thanks for what you're doing. Thank you to all of our teachers and how hard you're working right now to try to make this work. It's got to feel like such a challenging situation to be in right now.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thanks, Doreen. Let's back to Karen for a second here. You're hearing what I'm hearing, and you cover the education beat. I guess this doesn't surprise you. I'm just feeling how these teachers who are calling in are doing everything they can. They're working above and beyond. They're just trying to make this work, and it doesn't make this any less challenging.
No, and you're a parent. I'm a parent, and I think if I could just leave one thing here with you is that everyone wants to be back in the classroom. Like Doreen said, it's heartbreaking for teachers. Students want to be back. Parents want the kids back. Teachers want to be back. I think that's everyone can agree with that. It's just when and how can we all be together again safely.
No doubt. Thank you, Karen. I appreciate your time today. I really do.
Thank you, Anna. My pleasure.
Karen Collada, let's go to the phone. I think, Griffin, you've been waiting on, you wanted to share your perspective. Go ahead. What's going on?
Yes, I'm actually an eighth grade student, and I've been listening to WGN for a while, and I just thought that this would be a great place to offer my perspective on how remote learning goes.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Now, I just think that school from home, it's very different. And it's different in a way because it's like, like the person was saying before, it's not very organized all the time. And it's hard to, it's hard. You don't socialize when you're in a screen. You don't get that social interaction that you're used to. And yes, it's doable and it's what we have to do right now, but it's not easy for parents, students, or teachers. And I do think teachers are doing a great job attempting to teach, and I thank all teachers for that.
Yeah, they can't recreate the social part, not when you're virtual, right? So it doesn't do it for you. And I've heard that from people of your age group, my nephew and my niece. In your age group, you're trying to, like, you know, become your own person, right? You're trying, you do that by hanging out with your friends and you discuss your ideas and things like that. I don't know, I get it doesn't translate so much on virtual, which is surprising to some of us because we think that you guys spend so much time on your devices anyway, but then when you're fully on your devices, it doesn't work, right?
Oh, yeah, no, of course. Like, I actually found a way to be able to talk to my friends on a daily basis. We do a Zoom call every day. It's just to recreate the social aspect of what this is in, I guess, a safe, socially distant way. But yeah, I totally agree with that, Anna.
Mm-hmm. Griffin, can you tell us where you're in school, or would you prefer not to? It's up to you.
No, I'm totally fine with that. I go to school in Antioch.
Mm-hmm. In your eighth grade.
Eighth grade, District 34. And I think they're doing a great job. I do have a great group of teachers this year, and I am thankful for that.
I'm glad to hear that. And I thank you so much for calling in. To get your perspective is great. And I mean, it's an important piece of this discussion. And I hope I wish for the best for you and, you know, all the kids you go to school with and your teachers too. So let's get through this, huh, Griffin?
Yes, definitely.
All right. Have a good weekend. Okay. Thanks for calling in. How cool is that? What a great discussion. Hear from someone in eighth grade and hear a special ed teacher and teachers with all kinds of challenges there, too. I learned a lot. I hope you did, too.